Clemence Michelon is our guest this morning. She made quite a splash with her debut thriller, The Quiet Tenant. It was a USA Today pick, an international bestseller, a New York Times best crime book of the year, and a GMA Buzz pick. Now, Michelon returns with Our Last Resort, a twisty tale of childhood cult survival wrapped around a psychological whodunit set against the backdrop of a luxury resort in the state of Utah. Clemence will be at the Northshire Bookstore event being held at the Saratoga Springs Public Library tomorrow night, July 17th at 6 p.m., and it's a great pleasure to welcome Clemence Michelon to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'm delighted to be here.
So coming out of the first novel and then moving to this one, what changed for you? What did you want to do in this particular volume, the always stressful follow-up?
Yes. Yes, indeed. A big thing for me that actually guided my decisions as I wrote Our Last Resort was actually realizing that my previous book, The Quiet Tenant, is set in the winter in the Hudson Valley. So it's very often dark in that book because the sun sets at 5 p.m. It's always cold. The ground is frozen. And it's a captivity story. So in The Quiet Tenant, there were mainly three settings: a house, a garden shed, and a restaurant. And that was basically it. And I thought, well, for the next book, I would like to travel somewhere beautiful, somewhere people go to on purpose, and somewhere warm, but still somewhere that holds a lot of menace. And I thought, what about this beautiful hotel in the desert in Utah that I went to years and years ago? What if I used a hotel much like this one in this new book? So I really wanted sort of this summer vacation vibe.
This is a place that is almost hidden. It's very secluded. And you, when you and your parents stayed in a similar hotel, it was hard even to find it.
Yes, that is correct. So 15 years ago, I traveled with my parents to Utah from France, where we're from originally. And we were scheduled to stay at this gorgeous hotel. And it was only accessible, as it turned out, by a very small, quite hidden access road. And we missed that road 10 or 15 times. We almost ended up going to the nearest motel because we were losing daylight and we couldn't just stay in the desert forever. And eventually we teamed up. I grabbed the phone. My dad kept driving and we got some instructions and we were able to find it. And I'm glad we did, because to this day, that hotel is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. But it was also a little menacing because you're pampered while you're in the hotel, but around you is the desert. It's a climate that is definitely inhospitable to human life. And I remember this employee gave us a tour and pointed to our beautiful hotel bathroom window, because all the rooms are on one floor. And she said, you know, at night you might see a coyote. And that was like a little fireworks in my brain, because I'm from Paris, France. I've never really been in close proximity to coyotes. And it seemed like a very good place to set a murder story.
Okay, so I want to get to the story in a second, but you grew up in France. You were just outside of Paris, and then you moved to the United States. And I assume that has a that helps inform your career, that has an imprint on you as a novelist.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from the very beginning, you know, if you look at my DNA as a writer, the books I was made to read in school, there's some overlap with books in the US, but also we were really focused on the French classics. So I read Flaubert and some Proust, albeit not a lot, and so, you know, Zola and Balzac. And I think that just informs what my idea is of a novel. And on the other hand, what I read for pleasure on my own time was contemporary thrillers, a lot of them by American authors. And I would read in translation, and then I started reading directly in English. And that also informed my decision to start writing in English in my own books.
Was that at all a challenge of doing that?
Oh my goodness, yes. But I've actually learned that for me, setting myself a little technical challenge is a way for me to get unstuck when I'm trying to write. So if there's a scene I can't write for some reason, I will just add a little technical difficulty. So for example, if it's a scene that is experienced from the point of view of one character and it is technically told in the first person, I will tell myself, let's not use the pronoun I at all in this scene and still tell it from this first person point of view. And it unlocks something because I think instead of worrying about the scene itself, I just get distracted trying to get around this difficulty I set for myself. And the similar thing happens with writing in English. It's a little more difficult for me. And so it enables me to focus because I have this big obstacle that I need to get around. Instead of worrying about, you know, am I writing badly? Is this good enough? Will it be good enough? All those questions that can get in the way of writing, I just have to focus on actually getting the words down on the page. And then there's the occasional moment when there's a word and I think it means one thing and it ended up and ends up meaning something else. So it does make me quite diligent and vigilant about the words I put on the page. And if I'm not sure, I double check, which I think is also an instinct that comes from journalism because I'm a journalist by trade. So it's an oddity, but in the end, it really serves me.
Clemence Michelon is our guest. The name of the new novel is Our Last Resort, and it is published by Knopf. So let us get back to the story. Once you found the hotel and you populate this with such interesting characters, what is it that you then wanted to do with them and wanted to say in this twisty tale?
Yeah. So like you said, right, I had the setting and it's definitely what came first. And I knew there would be a murder, but that's all I had, which is not enough. For me, the question that really powers my writing is, how well do you ever know the people you love? And I knew that murder in the hotel would cause one person to have to wonder whether someone they love is capable of murder. So Our Last Resort tells the story of two adult siblings, Gabriel and Frida, who travel to this beautiful hotel in the desert in Utah to try to mend their sibling relationship. And everything's going okay, not perfectly well, but well enough, until a few days into their stay, a female guest turns up dead, evidently murdered. And the investigation is going to quickly focus on Gabriel because it's not the first time a woman has died in his orbit. And I needed Gabriel and Frida to share a very intense, particular bond because I needed the emotional stakes of the novel to be really high. I needed it to be so that if Frida had to consider that Gabriel might be capable of murder, not just once, but twice, I needed that to mean the end of her world. And so that's how I discovered that Gabriel and Frida had grown up in a cult together in upstate New York, and that had forged this very specific kind of bond between them.
You say that you spend 3 years getting to know Frida and Gabriel. What was it that took that time and the exploration of getting to the understanding of these characters?
So getting to know the characters is my favorite part of the work of the author. And to me, it is what unlocks the story. So getting to know Frida and Gabriel meant getting to know them as adults, but also getting to know them as children, because the book is told in dual timelines. One spends days and focuses on the murder investigation at the hotel and its impact on Frida and Gabriel. And one focuses on their childhood in the cult and the fallout from that. And that is a timeline that spans years. So I had to figure out who they were as adults. And I had to make sure that these adults would grow out of these children. And then similarly, I had to figure out what had happened to them in childhood that would turn them into the adults that they have become. I had to give them layers. They have both been through a lot. And the thing is, when your characters go through a lot, you have to figure out how they're going to cope with it mentally, how it's going to shape them. But also there's a lot of logistics involved to all of it. All plot is logistics, I'm learning. So, you know, they grow up in a cult. They end up in this hotel. It's an expensive place to be. How are they paying for it? Answering that question means figuring out something really important about them. You know, and the place in society that they ended up occupying.
So they begin estranged, and then they're looking for a new start. And what is igniting that want to try to get together and to reunite?
See, that's another thing I had to figure out. I had to figure out why on earth do they go to this hotel together?
Right.
Since they have been estranged for a few years. And the trigger for that is that they learn that some documentary producers would like to do a documentary about the unsolved murder of Gabriel's wife. Gabriel was a suspect. He was not charged. He was not convicted of anything. But some people are still pretty convinced that he had something to do with it. And Gabriel surprises Frida in telling her that he wants to do the documentary. He wants to talk. He's been silent for years, and he left his town where he was living in New Jersey, and he relocated to Seattle, and he's really kept off the radar, but he is done hiding. And Frida is kind of jarred by this admission on his part and wants to talk to him before he sits down for the documentary, and she wants to check what story he's going to tell and make sure that they're aligned in that regard.
You spoke about Gabriel's personality a moment ago, but it seems in my reading that this character is someone who, wherever he goes, the trouble's going to follow him, whether he's responsible for it or not.
Yes, absolutely. Gabriel, trouble follows him wherever he goes, and death seems to follow him wherever he goes. He was a very interesting character to get to know. Some characters come to you fully formed or almost fully formed, mm-hmm. and some are more elusive, and Gabriel remained a bit of a cipher for a while, but that's usually very satisfying as a process when you then start understanding that character. So I use a little trick that I use when I can't wrap my head around a character, which is that I give them a characteristic I share. It can be something big, it can be something small. So Gabriel is a big Roman Empire nerd, and he knows much more than I do, but I studied Latin for 8 years between middle school and college. So I've also spent a lot of hours of my life thinking about Roman civilization and the madness of the Roman emperors and the fall of the empire and all of that. And so that was it just opened a window into his psyche for me to understand who is this guy and why does trouble follow him, no matter where he goes, be it New Jersey, Seattle, or the desert in Utah.
Clemence Michelon is the author of Our Last Resort, which is now out from Knopf. And Clemence will be at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs talking about and signing the book and being in conversation with our dear friend Rachel Person on Thursday, July 17th. The event actually is being held at the Saratoga Springs Public Library. While the bookstore is temporarily closed, the events are taking place at the Saratoga Springs Public Library, and this will be at 6 p.m. on Thursday, the 17th. Let me ask you about what it is like, of what kind of research you did and what you learned about cults in the writing of this book.
I have been obsessed with cults for many years. I was a child when I saw a segment on French TV that was about cults. It was kind of a 60 Minutes style of segment. And I think I had to cults the same reaction that I had to serial killers, which was that it would have never occurred to me that something like this could exist, but it also makes perfect sense. That's what I find fascinating about cults, which is that we're all trying to exist as a society. We're all trying to exist in a collective unit, and it's really hard to exist together. And they turn that into cults turn that into a really predatory exercise. In terms of research, I wanted the cult in the book to feel rooted in reality, but I also didn't want it to seem like a fictional version of one specific cult. So I borrowed characteristics from various cults I remembered reading about. So there's a bit of Jonestown, there's a bit of David Koresh, there's a bit of Nexium, which was that cult in upstate New York that was busted a few years ago. And I actually had a bit of a personal connection to that case. because the leader of NXIVM was called Keith Raniere, and he's currently in prison. And during his trial, his federal trial, my husband worked as a spokesperson for the prosecutor's office who handled the prosecution of Keith Raniere. So it was this weird moment in my life when from Monday, Friday, from the moment the courtroom opened to when it closed, my husband was spending his entire workday in the same room as Keith Raniere and as a lot of protagonists in the NXIVM story. And so it ended up taking a lot of room in my household and in my mind. And so I watched the documentaries, I listened to the podcasts, I read the books. So that one was a big influence.
And as many of these stories are, it was a rather gruesome case in the sense of what was done by Keith Raniere to the women and how they were brought into a cult.
Absolutely. And I think that's an important part of my work as a crime novelist. I am a journalist by trade, so I've also reported on crime in a real life context. And for me, my approach to reading about or learning about real life criminal cases that then echo what I'm working on the fictional side is that I never want my work to feel exploitative. But on the other hand, I do feel that it is important to remember that the things we write about, the things we fictionalize, happen in the real world, in real life, to real people and involve real suffering. That really informs my decisions as a writer.
Do you think characters that in your case, these characters that have gone through an experience in a cult are ever able to come back to some sense of normalcy?
I want to believe that they can, yes. I think I was very moved in researching this novel to learn about the really difficult process that is leaving a cult. And tragically, the fact that it is so hard to leave a cult keeps people in cults for longer than it should. But you see stories of hope, of people who reconnect with their families. And the tragedy, of course, is they can never get back the time they spent in the cult, but they can absolutely rebuild something. And it's not without traces. I'm sure it impacts how they're able to trust other people and probably their relationship to belief systems or various groups, et cetera. But I do want to believe that it's possible to move forward.
The name of the new book is Our Last Resort by Clémence Michelon. It is published by Knopf. Clémence will be in conversation with Rachel Person at the Saratoga Springs Public Library for a Northshire Bookstore event on Thursday, July 17th at 6 p.m. You can find out more by going to northshire.com. Northshire.com. Again, the name of the book is Our Last Resort. Clémence, thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure speaking to you. Have a beautiful time in Saratoga.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your great questions and for having me on the show. And I cannot wait for Saratoga. I'm going to drive there in my Beetle. It's a bit of an adventure because I'm a new driver, but we're going to get there.
Well, and then you'll be in very good hands with Rachel, who is a great reader and a wonderful person. And I know you'll hit it off and have a great event. Again, that is on the 17th, and it's at Northshire Saratoga event happening at the Saratoga Springs Public Library at 6 p.m. Clémence, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks again.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.